Oh, I want to thank Natalie for reading this morning. Thank you for some challenging words in there. But I really want to focus on that last verse, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, that talks about God pouring out. Three things, really. God pouring out His grace. God pouring out upon us His faith. God pouring out on us His love. We gotta have those three things. And as I preach about that, I want to start by talking about oil and maybe even a little bit of grease, okay? Grease and oil. So that kind of sounds a bit strange to think about that, but those things can get poured out in a sense. When I was growing up on the farm, I was always getting oil and grease on me. There were always three or four large drums of oil sitting around on the farm in the implement garage. There was engine oil for the tractors. Sometimes you had engine oil you had gasoline tractors, you had diesel tractors. There was a large drum of hydraulic oil. You had to keep the hydraulic system working on these things so you could lift implements up and lower them down. You need hydraulic systems to do that. There was a transmission drum for a transmission oil. And even kerosene, there's a kerosene drum, because you got to have, when you're in Wisconsin in the winter, you want to have those NIPCO heaters working, okay, especially in the barn and other places where you're going to freeze your feet and fingers off. And there was always one 5-gallon drum of grease, just grease. And if you've been around implements, you always got to keep things greased and lubricated. And I ended up greasing my hands and my arms. I don't know what it was when you're a young kid. It's like, oh, I love this stuff. There's hours of entertainment smearing grease all over you. And much to my mother's dismay, she didn't like that, but... But no matter how messy grease and oil can be, it becomes a critical part of farming. We needed clean new oil for the engines. We needed hydraulic for the hydraulic cylinders, transmissions. And then if you had any old oil left over, that went on to conveyor belts and chains and elevators and barn cleaners and wheels and axles and things like that. I can always remember my father. He was always seen to be greasing something up, whether maybe it was the plow, the plow disc or something like that, or the plow blades. Sometimes I'd get the grease gun. You ever work? I don't know if you guys, kids don't operate grease guns anymore. They don't even know what a grease gun is. But grease gun, you'd took the hose and you put it on what they call a zerk. Isn't that a crazy word? A zerk? You ever hear that word before? But you plug that into the zerk and you pump it a couple times and the grease would go through, grease up the bearings and things like that. That was my job. I could never find all the zerks, okay? The dad would always point out the zerks I missed. He always thought that was pretty funny. I could never find them all. But the bottom line is we had to have the oil. We had to have the grease. If we didn't, guess what? Rust was going to set in. Things were going to break. That's not good on the farm because you got to get, you got to make hay when the sun shines, right? And if you're broken down and you can't do that, that's just lost money and you're going to be delayed. Then people get mad, right? My dad used to get mad about that. But anyway, churches are not unlike farms. We have a lot of moving parts in church. I know many of us, we come to church on Sunday and we really don't get to see what happens during the week at church. We come in on Sunday, we sit in our comfortable pew, and that's fine, we like that, but then we go away, and we may not come back till next Sunday. Did you ever wonder what happens during the week at church? Every week, there's a groups meet, an AA group. I would tell you who's in it, but they want to stay anonymous, so I can't do that, but an exercise group will be here. People will regularly drop off food donations. Other people will pick up food. Cleaning crew comes in on Friday to tidy up for Sunday. What a blessing those folks are. I don't know if you've ever been here on a Friday morning. These people come in they come in there with such a good nature. I talk to them, we get to see them. They have such a positive attitude. I just like being around them. But they've been faithful workers here for many years now. It's been a few years now. Sometimes the Girl Scouts come in. And all that stuff, that really has nothing to do with church ministry yet. That's all just the stuff the housekeeping stuff. Then there's all the church ministry stuff. Sunday school for children and adults. Thanks Llewellyn and Lance and others that are helping out there. I think there's some teenage stuff going going on there with, so for Blake, Blake's helping out there, and Shirley Wallace, yes. In a couple weeks, we're going to resume the SALT program. SALT, again, I talked to you a little bit early about that, this idea where the elementary kids, not a whole bunch of them, maybe 12 or 15 of them come in here, and we sit down and talk to them about, well, just help them out with kind of life in general. You know, just kind of see how they're doing, kind of help them out with their schoolwork. And, of course, we want to tell them about Jesus, right? So we always have a devotion, scripture memory, things like that. You know, those things, you look at them and think, that's very trivial stuff. You might think that's very simple and trivial, but it's so important. I don't think we realize exactly. Just the fact that we sit down with them and have a snack with them, see how they're doing. Some of the kids that we started with way back in 2018, now they're taking leadership roles in it and helping us out. It's really fun to watch. Our musicians, they come up here on Sunday morning, but they usually have to get together at least once a week, maybe at church, maybe at their house, and they work on getting the music ready. We really appreciate them as well. I haven't said anything about the volunteer secretaries. They're paying bills, they're ordering supplies, they're answering phones, they're printing the bulletin. On occasion, maybe they're even chasing a bat around the place. I don't know. Sometimes that happens. It's funny, even in the middle of the winter, sometimes we get a bat. It's weird. I should know, but maybe they should hibernate or something, but I guess it's warm enough around here, they don't have to. But all this, I think about this, you think in a church our size, we're not a really big church, you'd think that there wouldn't be that much activity going around, but there actually is. And the point I want to make here, the central theme of my message is, we want to check our oil. We want to check the oil. And I'm talking about our spiritual lives and whether or not we are, kind of sounds weird, but conditioned and lubricated with God's Holy Spirit. We got to have that lubrication to move, have our parts moving. If it isn't, we're going to be caught trying to accomplish things that God wants us to do, but we're not empowered to do by the Holy Spirit. And if that happens, if we're trying to live our lives and do our ministry, you know, just on our human effort, well, you know what's going to happen there. We're going to have frustration. We're going to have failure. We're going to have hardship. Now, I wouldn't call myself mechanically inclined. I mean, yes, I change a tire on occasion. Okay, one time when I was a teenager and I really needed transportation, I actually changed the water pump on my car. I have no idea how I did that. Okay, that was a long time. That was a 77 Cutlass Supreme. Anybody here have a 77 Cutlass Supreme? That's a nice car back then. Big V8 motor, okay. But nowadays, if I look under the hood of a car, I'm very intimidated, okay? I can't. The only thing I can find for sure in a car now is the dipstick, okay? And that's good because that's where I can check the oil. Anytime my child or my kids, Caleb reminded me the other day, he goes, he said to me, do you know all the people in our family can drive now? Wow, it's like, he's the only one that can't drive. And he's eager to do that, you know, okay, but when they get, you know, we have a whole fleet of cars out there. You've probably seen them. And I'm always checking the oil. It's like, I don't want these kids running out of oil. I mean, running out of gas is one thing, okay? You can always put more gas in the tank. And it can be inconvenient when you run out of gas. That's very embarrassing, right? But to run out of oil, that is really bad. Because what happens when you run out of oil? Your motor, the heat expands the metal then seizes the motor up, and then, you know, what do? You take the car to the junkyard, right? Because it's no good anymore. The motor's shot. So we need to check our oil, especially during this New Year's, okay? Because, again, we're in that New Year's season. We're still in January, right? So we're thinking about these things that we want to accomplish this year. Maybe you're going off to school. Maybe you got other plans. I don't know what your plans are, but we better check the oil to make sure that we have things operating properly. We better do that before we shift into gear to accomplish them. We want our lives operating on optimal levels. Because if we don't, all our good intentions are going to fall to the wayside. We're going to get stranded on the side of the road. We don't want that. So what I want us to do this morning is take a moment to meditate on what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. He says, the grace of our Lord was poured out. I love that word, the idea of being poured out on me abundantly. And the three things, grace and faith and love, he says, that are in Christ Jesus. These are things that are going to, that if we are going to receive this stuff from God. And we need to have this stuff. If we don't have this stuff, guess what? We really can't even be Christians. How can we be Christians without the grace of God? There's no impossible. How can we be Christians without the love of God? How can we be Christians without faith? And of course, not just any faith, but faith in the person of Jesus Christ. When we think about grace, first of all, okay? We start understanding what the Lord went through to bring us grace. The persecution, the opposition, the bodily torture, these things that he endured, the spiritual separation from himself and the Father. When we think about that stuff, this is what he did to bring us grace. And when we think about that, shouldn't we as Christians, shouldn't we be gracious to one another? Understanding towards one another, tolerant of one another, our fellow human beings. It doesn't matter if we're Christians or not. Shouldn't we as Christians be able to offer understanding and grace to others? That's our call, right? That's the Jews. You know, we were talking about in Sunday school, we were talking about the Jewish folks are, and many of them who will go to the Wailing Wall. And they will say their prayers and put their prayers in the wall and things like that. But they haven't understood. You know, that's the new temple is a person's body who's been indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That is the new temple. We don't have to go to this physical wall, this structure that's now destroyed, really, and pray for something. All we do is pray to God. He will fill us. We are the new temple. Got off track there a little bit, but Jesus said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Have you ever said that to somebody? I mean, when we are offended, when we're falsely accused, when we are attacked, we could say that. Those people that attack Jesus, there's those types of people right now, and they will attack us. The Lord says, you know, we're going to have opposition. We're going to have persecution. If we're a follower of God, Jesus guarantees we're going to have that sort of stuff. And then the question is, in our lives, can we say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? That's a challenge for us. That's a difficult thing to do. But that is, if we can do that, that shows that we have God's grace in our lives. Grace is something we don't deserve. And God's grace gives us something we can never accomplish, right? We can never accomplish a reconciliation with our Father in heaven. We can't do that without grace. We can't have our sins removed without God's grace. We can't have really purpose and peace and life everlasting. None of that stuff is ours unless we receive God's grace. Paul often opens one of his letters, his letters in the New Testament, when he's writing to the churches, grace and peace to you. It's like the first thing he writes down. He wants us to be reminded that peace and harmony amongst God's people, it will always be evasive and elusive if we operate outside of God's grace. As a matter of fact, without God's grace, church doesn't exist. We can get together as a social club or something like that, but that's not church. Church happens because God's grace happens. And if we don't have God's grace, we can just pack it up and go home because the church doesn't exist anymore. So let God check us and fill our grace tank. Proverbs 3:34. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. So if we're going to get grace from God, if we're going to have God pour out his grace on us, we come to him with humility. And we say, God, I need you. I this life that I live, I can have to live it in the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your grace. Pour out on me your grace. See, God wants to have a deep and personal relationship with us, but we cannot have it. This is part two here. We got to have faith. Okay, so the second gift is faith. First is grace. The next one says, these things are poured out on us. Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the reason why it's impossible to please God without faith is because, here we go with my vehicle analogy, okay, that is the vehicle by which we approach Him. We have to get into the vehicle of faith to approach God. God wants to have a deep and personal relationship with us. But we cannot have it with God without faith. And the beautiful thing about this is, He solves that problem of our lack of faith by saying, here, I will give you faith. Did you realize that? That faith is a gift of God, the Bible says. And when He gives us faith, we don't have to fear God's judgment. We don't have to fear His scorn. We don't have to fear His rejection. In Revelation, you remember the very quintessential picture of God saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I will come in and eat with you. And He with me, that's what He says in Revelation. It's a metaphor of the gift of faith God has given us. All we have to do is knock and open the door. God will come in. God's gift of faith clears the way for God to accept us. And here's another important thing. It's not how much faith we have. It's the type of faith in whom we have faith. The object of our faith is of great importance. Galatians 2:20. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Listen to verses in chapter in Hebrews. Let us hold firmly to the faith that we may approach the throne of grace with confidence. So in simplest terms, the gift of faith that God gives us allows us to receive God's grace without fear, without trepidation. I don't want to be afraid. Do you want to be afraid? I don't want to be afraid of things in life. I mean, we can read the news and that can kind of unsettle us. We see things like that happen in Minneapolis and other parts of the world. That can make us fearful. I want us to have faith. And God wants us to have faith. He wants us to have faith that gives us the courage to ask Him for good things and timely things. We talked about the timing earlier. He wants us to have faith that causes us to be patient and at the same time persevere in our prayers. Because I don't know about you, I'm impatient. And I want things yesterday. And I get frustrated when things don't happen the way I want them to happen. But we need to persevere in our prayers in faith. He wants us to have the sort of faith that understands that He is working through each one of us. It's children of God, okay? We are all given a gift, the Bible says. We are to use that to edify the body of Christ, those around us, the church body, so that we can shine brighter as God's body on earth to do His will, to shine the light of the gospel. God wants us to have the faith that says that we are confident that what He has started in us, He will continue to work in us and through us. So that's grace and that's faith. What about love? I mean, I kind of don't like this terminology where it says, you know, check your love tank, okay? That kind of bothers me. I don't really get into that sort of stuff, but it's true. We have to fill our love tank. That sounds cheesy. But it needs to be checked. We need to check that. We can never forget about this one because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, the most famous chapter in all the Bible, the love is the greatest gift God gives. The gift of love. Because love is equated with God Himself. He gives us Himself. And God is love, right? In 1 John 4:8. And the Apostle Peter writes that we are to love God and we are to love one another deeply. And it says it covers over a multitude of sins. But the question is, how do we fill our love tank? Okay, that's. I think the answer lies partly in what we read earlier in 1 Timothy 1, verse 14, where Paul writes again, "The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Grace, faith, and love. If you are to receive, if any of us are to receive God's gift that He desires to give to us, then it's incumbent upon us to look to Him. To look to Him with clear eyes, sincere hearts, and receptive hands. You see, so often our vision of God is distracted by the things of the world. It's true. I'm as guilty as the next person. And sometimes we are unable to pull our gaze away long enough to receive what God has for us. Other times when we do look up to God, a lot of times we look up to God with the wrong motivation. We like to shake our fist at God and say, "God, why are you putting me through this? I don't want to go through this. This is troubling. This is unsettling. It's not easy. It's a challenge." So many of us have had times in our lives when that's happened to us. Some of you may be going through it right now. And sometimes we like to place the blame on God rather than take a good hard look in the mirror and say, "Okay, maybe I'm responsible for this challenge because of the way I've acted." So we have to have a clear vision to look up and have a clear vision. And the only way we can really have a clear vision of God is if we're reading the Scriptures. I mean, our minds, we can have a concept of God, but until we read the Bible and have the Holy Spirit enlighten our interpretation of the Bible, until that happens, we're going to have a very foggy vision of who God is. And when that happens, then we have a kind of a messed up relationship with God. Finally, there are times when our hearts are so cluttered with other things, there's no room for God's Spirit in our lives. God wants to indwell us. God wants to empower us. God wants to guide us into truth. And God wants to give us eternal life. That's really the ultimate purpose. I mean, yes, it's good on earth to be guided into truth, to have good relationships with our neighbors. But even that's going to come to an end because we're going to have eternal life in heaven. If we are to receive the good gifts that God wants to pour out on us, as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, to pour out on us the gifts of grace, the gifts of faith, the gifts of love, you know, these things are like the oil to the machine, right? We don't want to freeze up. We don't want to seize up. We don't want to be paralyzed. We want to operate in the Spirit of God. So these gifts are like the oil to the machine. They are like life-giving water to any living organism. You all probably took biology class. You know that we are made up of what? Over 70% water, our bodies are. Okay? Every living organism has got to have an access to water. These are the gifts God wants to pour out on us. Grace, faith, and love. And if we can do that, guess what? If we allow God to do that, if we receive those gifts with humility, with expectation, with receptivity, with thankfulness, you know, then we're going to get more than just harmony with one another, peace and love and harmony. That's wonderful. I want that. But more importantly, we get eternal life.